Gracious God, we come this day with this prayer on our hearts to make us servants, to make us servants of you, to make us servants of your kingdom, to make us servants of your will in this world, to participate in spreading and sharing your love, calling people to wholeness and restoring those things in this world that are broken. So God, make us servants that we might faithfully love and serve in all the ways that you lead us. May your Spirit guide us in this, and may your Spirit continue to stir and move in our midst, that as your scriptures have been read and are now proclaimed, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So I shared last week that we're going to be looking over the next couple Sundays at what it means to be a missional church. And I touched on this idea of being called last week, that God calls people. But we need to go a little bit deeper into this idea of what it means to be called, and specifically to be called by God. And I know there are a number of you that keep notes on your bulletin. If there's that page on the back, it might be helpful for you if you want to keep this in mind. But I see this calling being in three specific areas. That we are first called to be a child of God. We are called to be disciples in a community of disciples. And we are called to go or be sent. So three areas: called to be a child of God, called to be a disciple in a community of disciples, the church, and called to go or called to be sent. And I think these three aspects of what it means to be called are all necessary and important. In some ways, it's a progression, but we see these things sort of played out in a number of ways in an ongoing process in our lives. I think this process has to begin with that idea of being called to be a child of God. That's a very individual and a very personal aspect of it. It's that recognition, that awareness that we are a child of God, that we've been called by God to be loved, to receive the gift of God's love, to be a part of that ongoing work of salvation and redemption that God is engaged in bringing wholeness and restoration to this world, each and every person at a time. And so our awareness, our understanding of that, our acceptance of that grace that God is pouring out upon us is where we step into that. That's our first opportunity where we say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord." And we are just overwhelmed by that love that God has for us. But it doesn't stop there, because being a part of the Christian faith isn't just a you and God relationship. If that's all that it was, there wouldn't be any reason for us to be here. There wouldn't be any reason for us to come together. If your only connection with God was an individual and a personal one, you wouldn't need other people to be a part of it. You wouldn't need to be a part of community. It begins on that individual aspect, but it then moves into community. It moves into being a disciple. After we understand what it means to be God's child, after we're aware of that love that God has for us, we move into following and being a disciple. A disciple is one who follows, one who learns. And so we continue to discover and learn what it means to be a disciple, to grow in that relationship with God, to grow in our knowledge and love of who Jesus is and what he means in our lives. And through that process of growing, of better understanding that love, we begin to understand that God is calling us not just to be in a relationship with God, not just calling us to be a part of a fellowship where we come and sit with one another. Those are important steps, but also recognizing that God has called us to go, that God has a mission and a purpose for our lives. That word mission, I think, is one that we've done a disservice to over the years, because quite often when we hear that word mission or missionary, we think, oh, that's somebody that goes to the farthest reaches of the earth and engages in ministry and doing things with and for people that we know little about and you and I will never likely have any contact with. But the truth is, mission and missionaries are simply those who are sent. And for you and I, our mission field begins the moment we set foot outside the doors of this building. It might be right on our front steps that is the mission that God has called us to. We don't need to go to the other side of the earth. We don't need to go and meet people that we don't even have a common language with. We've got people that God is calling us to go to right outside our doors. So God's call in our lives is one that takes place in stages. But it's not like a board game of where we've gotten to this stage and we're done, but rather it's kind of like Monopoly, that just because you've gone around the board once doesn't mean you're finished. Now, I don't want to make you think that the Christian faith is monotonous as the game of Monopoly. But once you go around, you keep going around. That this process of being reminded that you are a child of God, this process of being reminded that we have more to learn, that there is more that we can do as disciples growing together, that there is more to do when it comes to being sent, that we may go here one time and we may go a completely different place another. Or there may be that one place that God has us going back to again and again and again. But we live that calling out because God has called us to be a part of it. Now, I mentioned those three areas of where I see calling being significant in our lives, and I think it's no coincidence that our vision for Central lines up with those. I mentioned that God calls us to be a child of God, to be connected with God. That God calls us to be a part of a community of disciples where we learn and grow. That God calls us to be sent, and often in sending we serve. Our vision at Central is that we would be a church where people connect, grow, and serve. We connect with God and we connect with one another. We grow. We grow in our knowledge and love of God. We grow in our ability to effectively be disciples. We serve in ways that God sends us to do so. And so this calling is very much what we want to see Central continue to be and even become more so. And so calling for you and I comes about in many ways. In our scripture lesson this morning, we see several different versions of how calls happen. In John's gospel, we hear about Jesus calling Philip and Nathanael. And it says the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee and he found Philip. Now, we're not sure what Philip was doing. There are people who are very interested in who this Jesus is. They want to know more, and they're kind of following along at a distance. And at some point, something catches their attention and pulls them in. Maybe there are people that are going about their own lives completely oblivious, and then all of a sudden they get a tap on the shoulder saying, "Hey, hi, my name's Jesus. I want you to come and be a part of something." Regardless, Philip is walking along, and Jesus says, "Hey, why don't you come and follow me?" And Philip apparently did. Because Philip not only came along, but Philip's walking along and he grabs Nathanael by the arm and says, "Hey, come with me." And so Nathanael joins along too. Now, when you think about how you became involved in the life of the church, part of that is that God was working in and through you before you even were aware. But who ultimately was responsible for you either being a part of this church or you coming to faith in Jesus Christ? Many of us, it was probably a family member. Many of us, it might have been that we were drugged often unwillingly to church, but at some point something happened along the way and we decided, hey, I kind of like this, and this is a good thing. But it's been interesting for me in ministry that there are often people who are very good at doing like Philip did, where he grabbed Nathanael and said, "Hey, come on, you're coming with me." Because some of the churches I've served, there will be one or two individuals in that church that are largely responsible for a large number of people that are there. Their friends, their families, their neighbors, anybody they know or talk to, strangers on the street, that they say, "Hey, you know, why don't you come to church with me?" And it isn't that individual doing the calling. It's God's Spirit working and moving through those people. So sometimes, like Philip, we may get that nudge, that push directly from God, and it may be something that happens that we're driving along and we hear a voice. It may be that we read something in Scripture, but sometimes it is God directly pushing us and saying, "Hey, I want you." And other times it's God working through the people around us to get our attention, to encourage us. Sometimes it's a combination. Sometimes God tag teams us and has a lot of people in our lives that are involved in that calling of getting our attention and moving us. But we see this playing out, that Jesus is calling people to him, and some of those who are coming, like Philip, are coming along and saying, "Hey, we need some more, come with us." But that calling, just because Philip followed when Jesus called, didn't end there. Philip went on to be one of the disciples. And we hear about Philip again in the book of Acts. Early in Acts, in chapter 8, we've still got Paul before he's had his conversion out persecuting Christians. And we're told in Acts that Philip was going out and preaching, calling more people to Christ. And there's the story of Philip being told in a dream or a vision that, you know what, go down to this road. And when he got down there, there was a Ethiopian eunuch riding in a chariot leaving Jerusalem, going home. And he'd gotten his hands on one of the scrolls of Isaiah, and he's in this chariot riding along reading it. And Philip goes up and says, "You know what you're reading?" And the eunuch says, "I have no idea. No one's helped me to understand it." So Philip begins explaining it to him, and that day that Ethiopian is baptized and presumably takes his newfound faith home with him. Philip played a large role in many people's lives of helping them to understand what it means to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus. So what is the purpose that God has for you and I when he calls us? Because when God calls, this isn't a cookie-cutter process. Not all of us look and act and think and believe and feel and understand things exactly the same. We have different abilities. We have different understandings. We have different skills, and yet God calls all of us. God calls all of us to be a part of his family, to be a part of his church, and to be engaged in this work of going to others. We go to share our faith, maybe with our words, maybe with our actions, often through our service. It's that the love of God is made real for other people. But God calls us to be a part of this work. And some of you might be thinking, "But I'm not called to do what you do." And that's fine. You don't have to. God needs all of us. God has called people to ministry full-time, as Curtis and I have, or Pastor Jen. God calls many people that are bivocational, that you have other things that you do, but yet God has equipped you and can often work through you in those other venues. And often those other skills and abilities that you have are helpful in building up this church, or the church, the body of Christ. I was listening to a podcast recently, and one of the things they were talking about was creativity. And they were kind of asking and looking at the question of, what is creativity? How do we define it? And in the arts, it's a little bit easier, although creativity can be pretty subjective. that, well, what's creative to you may not be to another person. What inspires you and captures your attention may be something that makes other people think, no way. But creativity, as they defined it, it really made me feel like I'm a more creative person. Because their definition they worked with was that creativity comes from the ability to make connections between seemingly unrelated things. And I thought, that's interesting, because that's part of what I do when I preach is, what are the stories that I have? What are the ideas and thoughts that I have that I can connect to the things that we find in this Bible and help to convey them and maybe help you to understand them better? And I think that when you look throughout history, creativity often comes from people that have interest and passions and understandings in vastly different areas. In history class, I remember them talking about the term Renaissance man, and it's not a very 21st century. We'd probably need to use the word Renaissance person now, but that term came about primarily because of Leonardo da Vinci. And da Vinci, history would tell us, was a brilliant man. Very skilled in mathematics, very skilled in art, and two areas that we often don't associate with one another. But in Da Vinci's work, those two often complemented one another. And the way that education and learning in our world has gone today, we become more and more focused on a very small, very narrow, very specific area of learning and understanding. But often creative people in all fields have very different passions and understandings. Even Albert Einstein, for all of his contributions to mathematics and physics, was a violinist. What areas in your life do you think, boy, you know, I really enjoy this. I spend a lot of time doing this. I know a lot about this. But then you think that has nothing to do with my faith. That has nothing to do with my relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to suggest that for the church, for this church to be innovative and creative, for this church to be even more missional, means tapping into those other passions, those abilities and skills that you have, and thinking about how can this be a tool to help build God's kingdom? How can these gifts that I think God has given me, my passion for artwork, for music, for sewing, for computers, for whatever, how can that be something that I honor God with and bring these seemingly unrelated things together? I don't have the answers for that at the moment, but I hope that God's Spirit will help you to begin thinking about what those are. Because maybe there's something that you are good at and passionate about that will open a door for a way for God to send you and in the process take some others with you, that God's kingdom might become an even stronger, more vibrant, more real reality in this community. But it begins with us. It begins with us recognizing that God wants you. Remember the old recruiting posters with Uncle Sam saying that you were wanted? God wants you. The most humbling understanding and revelation I had in what it meant for me to be a pastor in the United Methodist Church was when I realized that God doesn't need me. God could accomplish any of God's purposes without me. But yet, God wants me to participate. Being wanted is even greater than being needed. Being wanted means that a conscious decision was made, that you are of value, you are of worth, and you can make a difference. God is calling each and every one of us, and in calling us, God has said, I want you to be a part of the work that I am doing in this world. Friends, we are called. We are called to connect. We are called to grow. We are called to serve. So may we be those missional people that say yes to all the ways that God is calling us. Amen.